Thank you for that. Ladies, we're going to speak out of this on this story. About 5 or 6 years ago, I actually used these verses for a message, and the same type of truth, but I wanted to apply it to us this morning when it comes to our church and our anniversary and what we're going to do, or what we want to continue to do over the next 31 years. Every parent, if you have enough children, you've experienced in your life at one time where you've walked away and left your children somewhere. Okay, how many of you have ever done that? Let's just be honest, all right? Now, the older they get, you do that on purpose, but they find their way back. Okay, it's a little harder to get rid of them now. I remember one time over at the old church on Pacific, and this is back before everybody had a cell phone. My wife was taking the kids home, and I was dropping off some folks I brought to church. And as I was going to go back, I came up Pacific Avenue to get to the freeway. And if you remember the old church, there was a little playground out there. And I'm driving by our church. And I just happened to look to the right. And everybody was gone from the church, but I saw two people in the playground. One was Miss Deborah Keogh. The other was Hannah, about 3. And so I'm like, I pulled over. And I'm like, what's going on? She goes, I don't know. I came out of the building. I was finishing up some stuff or what. And I came out, and Hannah was out here playing at the playground all by herself. Now, my wife and I, because at that time of our business, we did have cell phones. I called her. I said, all right, you got everybody, right? Like, yeah. I said, you got Hannah, right? She goes, you did a head count. When you got 100 kids, you got 1, 2, 3. Hannah's not there. I know. She got left. Another time. The 4th of July was on Sunday, so we had an early Sunday night service, and then we all went to Signal Hill for fireworks. We all climbed up to the top of the little park up there, and so my wife and I are up there, and our kids are running around. And we're having a really good time, and people from the church are still coming. You see them parking down there and walking up, and here comes somebody walking, and guess who they have with them? Hannah. I'm like, what happened? It's like, I don't know. I found her wandering at the church. What's the message this morning? I'm trying to get rid of that girl, okay? And so she's, by the way, if you know somebody that will take her off my hand, that will be great. One more. We were on vacation. We didn't leave them, but we were at Jessica's in-law's house, and they live in the hill in a huge house, the backyard's the forest, right? And way in the back, they got a playground. And I think Lauren and Steven took their kids out there, and they were playing and having a good time. And then they came in. I think we were eating or doing something. And after a while, they're like, where's Gwen? Somebody figured out, where's Gwen? Or they put her in the swing way far out in the back. And it's one of those baby swings, you know, where your legs are there and they can't get out. So they went out there, and she just sitting in the swing like, is someone going to come get me? You know what? You don't want to be a part of my family. But we have not left anybody on vacation. We travel with like sometimes 18 to 20 people in 4 cars. And it's like, you're going to leave somewhere and someone's going to get stuck at a gas station one day. It's going to be great. Mine are all older now, so they know how to call. But you don't want to lose your kids. In this story, believe it or not, that's what happened to Jesus. Joseph and Mary lost Jesus. They lost him. They were going to the Passover. After they leave and they're traveling, they realize after a while, a day or two, Jesus isn't here. It would seem odd that you would lose your child, the Son of God, the Messiah. You would have thought over the course of that day or two that they would have had a meal together or something. But when groups would travel to the feast, a lot of times the village and the families in the village would get together and they'd travel together. So you'd have a pretty big caravan. And apparently they thought in this caravan, Jesus was with somebody. Finally, they realize that and they go back to find him. When they lost him, they were not necessarily doing something wrong. They were being obedient and going to the Passover. They had brought their family, which that was an obedient thing for a Jew. The point is, I think it's easy for us to lose Jesus sometimes in our life. But most importantly, I don't want us to lose sight of Jesus in our church. Amen. When someone loses Jesus in their life, and I'll explain how that happens in a minute, I don't think necessarily it's always intentional. I think some things happen or some things creep in, and they allow us, or they cause us, I'm sorry, to lose sight of Jesus in our life. It's been 31 wonderful years in our church. And the reason it's been 31 wonderful years in our church is because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because of him. Not because we're wonderful people. And by the way, very, very thankful, and we all should be, for Pastor Esposito. Amen. It was his vision and God using him to start this church. Right. In the early days, it wasn't easy. And Pastor Esposito sacrificed a lot. But one thing I know, he wanted to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in this church. That was always his verse about that they may see and know and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. A verse in Isaiah that Pastor always quoted. I remember when we were in Bible college. That was his verse for his bus route. But you know what he wanted? He wanted God to be glorified. He wanted God to be lifted up. And we want Jesus Christ to be lifted up. I don't want our church to ever lose Jesus Christ. And I don't want you individually to lose Jesus Christ. What happens if a church loses sight of Jesus Christ? It's because the members have started to lose sight of Jesus Christ. And it's very important that we don't do that. And so in the few minutes we have left this morning, I want to answer two questions for us. First question is, what would cause us to lose Christ? The second question would be, what would help us to keep Christ? The more accustomed we get to something, the easier it is for us to take it for granted and to actually lose it. When you were first dating, your spouse is the most wonderful thing in the world. And after a few years, you get accustomed to it. You get accustomed to marriage. And if you're not careful, your marriage can become, you can lose that closeness that they want. So the first question let's answer. What would cause us to lose Christ individually and as a church? I want us to notice certain things. Now, let me say this. If you're newer here and you're not serving Jesus Christ, you probably haven't lost him. You need to go after him. There has to be a time in our life after we're saved where we say, you know what, I'm not just going to be saved. I'm not just going to be a Christian. I'm going to be a dedicated Christian. I'm going to be a Christian that's all in and seeks after and follows Jesus Christ. Now, the danger in that is you can go back. So for those that maybe have been serving him, what can keep us from losing sight? Losing Christ. Well, let me give you a couple thoughts. They lost Christ as they were fulfilling their responsibilities. Verse 43, it says, when they had fulfilled their days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried. In other words, they were there for the Passover, the time they were supposed to be there for those days. And those days were now done. They had fulfilled their responsibility. And after fulfilling their responsibility, and they're leaving, they lose Jesus Christ. By the way, that can happen to each and every one of us. We're doing the things that we're supposed to do for Jesus Christ. Now, when we were first starting to serve him, we were excited about it. And we were showing our love for him. And we had a great motive for him. And that's why we were doing it. But then after a while, it just became something we do. It could be that you started to come to church and church was new to you and everything was exciting. And now you've been here for years and, oh, it's church again today. Be very, very careful. It could be in serving. Look, you could just choose the thing. Reading your Bible. When I first started reading my Bible as a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, I had never read it. And I'm like, this is exciting. It's brand new. And I read it through the first time in 3 months and I started reading it again. Listen, I've read it many, 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 many times. And if we're not careful, we can read our Bible and it's like, I've already read that. I've already seen that. I've already heard that. Then what happens when we start just fulfilling our responsibility and we lose sight of Jesus Christ? We start to enter into a joyless Christianity. It's a Christianity out of duty. I have to do it. That's not where we want to be. You have to understand this. Our obedience to Christ is wrapped up in a relationship with Him. It's not just, I have to do this or I'm going to get a spanking. No, we do it because we love Him and we know that what He wants for us is best in our life. And that's why we do it. But if we don't do that, if we're not staying close to Him and we're just doing the things we're supposed to do, joy seems to fade. And by the way, that doesn't mean you get up and say, you know, I'm not just feeling joy today. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm not coming to church. You come to church anyhow. Okay? Because the joy will come. But let's not lose Christ while we're fulfilling our responsibilities. Relationships are not about a to-do list. Now, when I'm working, I like to-do list. I like a list. This is what's got to be done. Okay? You know, not like, hey, let's do this. Okay, that sounds wonderful. Well, what are you going to do? Boom, 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 boom. And then I like progress. It's like, okay, you pull the project out. We did that. Can I just tell you something? Christianity is not a to-do list. Now, there's things you're supposed to do. But if all you are is checking off the boxes, so it's like, whoosh, got that out of the way, you're starting to lose sight of Christ. You know why you read your Bible? Well, first of all, you want to read your Bible every day and go through it and all that, but you're reading it because that's God talking to you. Amen. And I know sometimes someone can talk to you and you mentally check out. How many of you have ever done that? Okay, husbands and wives. My wife smiles because that happens sometimes. You know, maybe it's, I'll do it. Maybe it's her and we're talking in the car on date night. It's like, I'll say something. It's like, I can just tell she's checked out for a few minutes. She's thinking about something. I tell her, I say, hey, you're in Alma land right now, okay? And I've done it. She talked to me, and it's like, oh, well, I'm sorry, what was that again? You know why? We had other things on our mind. That happens. But listen, if that's all the time, you're not going to have a relationship. And so let's work at it. They also lost him as they were amongst the crowd. Look at verse 44. They're just going around, but they, supposing him to have been in the company. In other words, as I told you, there's that crowd. Maybe it was their family and their extended family, and maybe some of the people where they village and they lived, and they were all traveling to the Passover together, and they were all traveling back, and they're probably having a good time. The Passover was great, and we worship God, and everything's wonderful, and they're maybe in the glow of that, and there's a big group, and it's like, you know, how are we going to lose Jesus? All of us are together in this thing. Do you know you can lose Jesus at church? Because we start to substitute church for relationship with God. Well, you say, well, I'll know what I'll do, Pastor. I won't come to church. I'll just focus on my relationship with God. Listen, if you're not coming to church, you're not going to have a good relationship with God. You have no encouragement. You have no exhortation. You have no friends. And you're violating the Bible. But on the other hand, just because you come to church doesn't make it okay for you to neglect your personal relationship with God. Fact of the matter is, church is supposed to help you to get closer to God. But you can lose him at church. You know, we think, well, Jesus must be here at church, and I'm at church. It doesn't matter what I do because I show up to church. Well, it does matter what we do. Yes, the Lord wants us to be at church, but he also wants us to live and have a vital relationship with him. By the way, church can be a great help to that. We exhort one another. We encourage one another. And I encourage you to work on that. And they also lost Jesus as they were living their life. Verse 44, but they, supposing to have been in the company, went a day's journey. It's all good. Everything's in tow. Let's just live our life and let's continue on our path home, not realizing as they were making their path home and they're living their life and they're going their way, Jesus is still back in Jerusalem. They totally lost him. They got up that next morning. I guess they figured he was sleeping with somebody else. They're walking down the road. They're having a great time. Everything's wonderful. And then they get way down the road and say, where is he anyhow? Do you understand the busyness of life can cause us to lose the Lord Jesus Christ? And I understand, you know, we pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean we're on our knees all day. That just means as we're living our life and something comes our way, we can quickly pray. But you know, so often we get to work and we get things going in the busyness of life, and if you have children and they come your way, whatever it is, and if you're not careful, you let the busyness of life squeeze Jesus out. I'm just trying to survive. You'll survive a lot better if Jesus Christ is with you. I'm just trying to make it through the day. You'll make it through the day a lot better if Jesus is with you. That's why we think about him. It says you're blessed, scripture, if you meditate day and night. That doesn't mean it's the only thing on our mind. You know what it means? The Bible and Christ is always on the forefront of our mind. If something comes our way or a decision comes our way, we're thinking about that through the lens of scripture. But we lose Jesus, we just start living our life. We live in a society now where everybody just wants to live the life. Just want to have joy. And we look for joy in all of the wrong places. You know, the only time we have joy is when we're on vacation. Look, vacation is exciting and it's fun, but about halfway through, it's like, I'm ready to go home. It's always like, you know, well, where can I go this weekend? Where can I go? Listen, that's okay. Those things are fine, but that's not life. Right. We've got to make Jesus Christ a center of our life every day, no matter where we're going, no matter what we're doing. You know, a lot of people leave Jesus at home when they go to work. I wonder if I were to go to your work and ask your coworker, is he a Christian? I wonder what they would say. They probably ought to know, shouldn't they? But we start to live our life and we kind of lose sight of Jesus. They also lost Jesus as they were seeking him incorrectly. Verse 44, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. They didn't think, you know what, he's got to be back where we left him at the temple or talking to the leaders there. We left him in Jerusalem. Like the first place they look, that's just, he's got to be in our family. That just makes sense. And he wasn't there. You know what happens to us? One of the reasons we lose sight of Jesus, we start letting substitutes in. We're looking for him in the wrong place. What do I mean? It happens as we're looking for the things that only God can provide in the wrong places. See, the Bible talks about fulfillment in life. You know, fulfillment in life doesn't come from the job you have or this or that or the other. That only comes from Jesus Christ. We're looking for significance in life. Am I important? Is my life, is there meaning to this life? That is only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not going to be found in anything else. And we look for it everywhere, don't we? Listen, a pagan church is going to start in 2 weeks. It's called the NFL. Well, I'm not coming this morning because my team's playing. I hope your team loses. Unless your team's the Rams. Look, do me a favor. If you're a Rams fan, be to church. I don't want them to lose because of you. Now, if you're a Raiders fan, do what you got to do. You can come to church every day of the week, and it's not going to help them. Just kidding. But you know the set. Look, I remember the singles class about 20-something years ago. I'm teaching a singles class, and this guy started coming, and then he came to me. He says, hey, I just want to let you know something. You're not going to see me for several months. Soccer season is starting, and I'm playing on a soccer team. Like, okay, that's okay. Just ditch church to play soccer. Listen, you're not going to find significance in that. Your team, look, I wanted the Rams to win the Super Bowl. Guess what happened last year? They didn't win. Somebody cheated. That's what happened. But it's like, oh, well, they lost. It didn't ruin my day. It didn't ruin my week. In fact, we recorded the game and we were watching it. And about halfway through the third quarter, it's like, I know where this is going. I'm tired of waiting. So I got my phone out and checked the score and said, yep, they lost. We moved on with our life. But we find you try to find your significance and your security in money. It's not there. I'm not against you making money. Work hard and get God's blessing and be generous. But I'm just telling you, if that's where you're putting your life, you're not going to get it. It only comes in Jesus Christ. They sought him in the wrong spot. And then lastly, for this, they lost him as they were accusing somebody else. Okay, now this is kind of weird. They go and it's Jesus' fault. Verse 48. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Why'd you do that? She knew who he was. By the way, people do that all the time, don't we? I got to be honest with you. I've done that. Lord, why are you doing this? I can think twice. Now, I've had small attitudes. I can think of twice in my life where I had a walk and I told God, what you're doing is not right. Brother Robert, when we moved to Florida and we were struggling financially, we were struggling bad financially, and I was looking for a job every day. And one day I went out. I said, I'm just going to go. And I prayed. And I just went into a place cold turkey. They told me at the thing, they're not hiring. I said, let me fill out an application anyhow. And the place paid pretty good. And I turned it in. They said, come in. They liked my tenacity. And they came in and said, we're going to hire you. And they made me take a lie detector test. I didn't lie. I mean, the questions were like, is your name Steve? And the guy said, I failed the test. And he says, you don't get the job. Now, I was already like, this was of God. I wasn't even supposed to go job hunting that day. I was supposed to be doing something else. And God opened the door. And the first place I went to, and they said they weren't hiring. And then I filled out application. They hired me anyhow. And I'm like, yes. And then I went for a walk. I'm like, Lord, we're struggling financially. This isn't right. What are you doing? Now, fortunately, he didn't turn me into a pile of ashes. By the time I walked back to our house, I was all right. I'm like, all right. And by the way, I got a way better job. One where I was the boss. And then when we were trying to get our other house, and it was going to be given to us, and we were going to go through all this, and I'm like, Lord, it doesn't make sense. It's a bad, and I tried, this one I wasn't as mad. I tried to talk him into it. Now, Lord, stewardship-wise, this would just be way better. And I finally got a good attitude about it, and we got it the next day. But the point is, people do that all the time with God. Hey, Lord, now, Lord, I'm not questioning you, but do you really know what you're doing? I mean, I'm not saying, Lord, that, you know, I don't have faith, but what's going on here? Come on. We've been there. Yep. That's what they're... Instead of saying, man, we should have kept an eye on you, they're like, why did you do that to us? Now, sometimes we don't blame God, we blame others. It's their fault that I lost Jesus. Listen, and let me say this, sometimes churches mistreat people. Sometimes Christians mistreat people. Sometimes things happen we don't understand. But can I just tell you something? That is never an excuse to bail out on God. Never. You're just looking for excuse most of the time. I found when someone quits coming to church, it's always got to be someone's fault. When someone makes a bad spiritual decision and things don't go well, it's always got to be someone else's fault. Could it just be that we lost sight of Jesus and made a bad decision? Lastly, and I have 5 minutes here, what will help us keep Christ? Let me just give you a couple thoughts. We've mentioned it in essence. First of all, we'll keep Christ when we seek him diligently. Verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, did you notice at first they were looking for him? Then when they looked around and he wasn't there, it got serious, right? Maybe you lost one of your kids in a crowd and it's like, you know, they're right here somewhere and you're looking and then you don't find them. Now it gets serious and you're seeking them. You know when they really found where he was? When they got serious about it. You know, you won't lose Jesus if you're serious about having a relationship with him. You won't lose Jesus if you're serious about serving him. Too many of us play games with God. I'll just be honest with you. Well, you know, I just don't have that same belief as you. No, you can't explain that from the Bible. You're just not serious about God. Let's be serious about him. It's the only way it's going to happen. Seek him diligently. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he was near. Isaiah 44:3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, those that really want him. Also, we keep Christ when we seek him directly. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors. Now, what do I mean by seek him directly? Are you with me? Listen to this. If you feel like you've lost Jesus in any way in your life, you know where you find him? Go back directly to where you lost him. Could be inconsistency in your Bible reading. You need to get back to that. It could be inconsistency in your prayer life. You need to get back to that. It could be inconsistency and lack of dedication in your church attendance. You need to get back to that. It could be some sin you've allowed in your life and it's kind of taken hold. You need to get back to getting victory over that. You just look. By the way, you're going to know. You say, I don't know. I know I've lost them. I'm not sure. Do this and it'll work. You with me? Get on your knees and say, Lord, I feel like I'm not as close to you, Lord. I feel like I've lost you in some way. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to come to your mind. Look, you ever have something you need to confess to God and you tried not to? Come on, is there anybody other than me that's ever done that? Come on, let's think about that for a minute. And you get down on your knees and you start to pray and it's like, you know, in your mind you say, that's not a big deal, I don't need to talk about that. And it's on your mind. You know what God is saying? Hey, dummy. He can call me dummy. Hey, dummy, why don't you confess that sin first and then it'll be okay. And then you just got to go back, all right, Lord, it's here. I'm sorry, and blah, blah, blah. Lord's like, now we're good. Now you can talk to me. Just go back directly to the source. You know where you lost him. You know where you lost him. Go right back there. Also, when we seek him delightfully, verse 48, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. What do I mean by that? You know how they knew they lost him? Their joy was gone. They got to the point where they were afraid. They were sorrowing because they didn't know where he was. That, by the way, if you don't have joy, that's God's way of saying, something's wrong. You've lost me. That's God's little trigger to say, you know, say, man, I used to come to church, I used to serve God and everything, and I just had this joy in my life, and I don't have that anymore. God's talking to you. You know what he's saying? You can get that back. Yep. Find me. And everything. And when did their sorrow go away? When they saw him. When they got him. See, serving God ought to be the most wonderful thing in our life. It doesn't mean life's always perfect and we don't have problems, but you know what? We can have joy. But if we lost that, it's because we've lost Jesus. And then also, lastly, we'll keep him when we seek him dutifully. Verse 45, Jesus just kind of wraps it in a package for me. Because, wist you not that I must be about my Father's business? So didn't you get it? There's things to do for God. Right. You know who I am. You know why I'm on this earth. That's why I'm here. You're looking for me. You're all in a mess because you lost me. But why couldn't you figure out that I'm doing what I am supposed to be doing? That's what he's saying. What about us? Do you know it's okay to do things because we're supposed to do them? Well, you know, I want to be an honest Christian. I just don't feel like it today. Have you ever done anything for your spouse when you don't feel like it? Yeah, like 24 hours a day. No, don't back up there. You know, you ever, the kids want something. I don't want to do it. But you do it for the kids' sake. Like when school starts and they're on our sports team. Look, after work on a Monday night, you don't want to go to that game. I mean, you want to cheer your kids. You're tired. But you go because your kids are playing dutifully. What's the point? The point is this. Our church has been blessed because we've tried to keep Jesus at the forefront. Amen. We've tried to keep obedience to him. And I don't want us to lose that. How are we going to lose that when we individually start to lose Jesus? Let me ask you, how close are you to God? How close are you to Christ? Are you looking and say, you know, I think I've slipped a little in some things in my life. I don't feel like I'm as close to God as I used to be. I don't feel that joy like I used to have. You might have started to lose sight of Christ. And maybe it's because of some of these things. You know what the good point is? They found him. I mean, it was stressful for 3 days or so, but they finally found him. And everything was back to good. The sad thing is, during those times we struggle, we'll allow anything to keep us from going back. Well, you know, I've had people tell me, I'm just going through something spiritually and I'm not going to come back to church until I get that right. So you're saying is, you're not going to come back to the place that's going to help you to get it right. Hey, let's get back to where we're supposed to be if we've slipped in our life. Let's all stand together for a minute, every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute.